Well, hi, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 1 of Raising the Revival Generation.
Yeah, welcome back.
That's our big intro for the Season 2. That's all you get.
All this hyping, and that's all you get.
Well, today we have some interesting topic that we want to talk about, because we are just going to go off the seat of our pants, as they say.
That's right.
And we are going to deal with fear.
That's right. In honor of Halloween coming, October coming, we're talking about fear, but not in a way that you might expect.
Yeah, because the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of
fear,
but one of power, love, and a sound
mind.
That's
right. Amen.
But we wanted to talk about fear in parenting.
Yes.
Right? Because we all have, we all think about our kids. We think about the future. Am I supposed to do our intro?
No, that was me, but it's fine.
Okay, you do it. Well, because we forgot to do all the other things.
Well, welcome back. And as always, if you want to hit that subscribe button or follow us so you can get notifications of all of our future content, that would be great. We have an incredible season coming up for Raising the Revival Generation podcast. And we're taking a simplistic view this season. And we want to start answering some simple questions that Christian parents might have when it comes to raising your children. And so questions we might be answering this season are, you know, how old should a kid be when they're baptized? Like, what's a good age for that? Or taking communion for that? As always, if you have questions that you want us to answer, go ahead and drop them in the comments or just send us a DM on any of our platforms, and we would love to answer them. Further, go ahead and follow us on your platform of choice. We all have platforms that we prefer. For me, I like TikTok. You like, I don't know what you like.
I don't have any.
And if you want to join our community, you can do so on Facebook. We're at Raising the Revival Generation Fellowship, and it's just a more intimate place to have conversation with us. And we usually put up some fun posts in there. And if you'd like to partner with this ministry, you can do so. There's a link below. Partnership just brings this podcast to you, and honestly, all around the world.
And with that, if you've noticed, there's probably a different sound quality.
Yeah,
and
we're trying.
If you go back to episode one, I did this, you can see a quality of video that has morphed into something much better because of viewers like you. Better mics, better soundboard, better
everything.
Equipment, because God is blessing this ministry, and we want
better
it to be.
Jason.
Here's the other thing. So real fast, before we get into fear, people are like, well, why can't you just do it off of your phone or like a measly budget? Because they don't like to spend on the kingdom of God.
That's right.
When David was getting ready to build the temple, he didn't give God a quarter of what he had.
Right.
He gave God everything.
Of his personal finances.
You're talking billions of dollars if you were to look at it today.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God doesn't need to be second rate, so you know.
That's right.
If the church is pleading poverty, then they don't know Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, or El Shaddai, the God of more than enough.
Amen.
And so we're not about putting out crappy quality for God. We believe that God wants the best. And that's just a rant right now. So if you're sitting there and you're like, well, and you're that person that I just made fun of, sorry, but it's true. Like, we're going to give God our best.
Yourself.
And we're going to give God all that we have. And so that's why we like having good equipment.
That's right. Amen. Awesome.
Fear.
Yeah. So we did some market research, and we are talking about the top 10 fears that Christian parents might have when raising their children. And before we get further in this, one thing that we want to clarify in this is that we're not speaking about this because we want to instill fear in you. We don't believe in fear mongering. In fact, we speak against that. And we believe that our words have value and what we speak is important. And so we just want to clarify with that. So if we bring up something that you don't have fear in, don't start doing that. Don't receive it as your own. Just bypass it. But what we hope is that we can really speak against these fears and equip you. And then the other thing to note in this is that we have just glanced. We haven't even talked about these. We haven't done any research or whatever. So you're getting
You just said we did do research.
No. I mean, we pulled up the statistics, but we're doing raw, like our...
Raw analysis.
Yeah, and our responses to it. So I'm not sure how that's going to go. We'll see.
Hence why when we see this is why I love this podcast so much. We've already messed up the intro and
we're professionals.
We've already had a rant. So we're picking up right where we left off.
You have already had a rant.
I've had a rant. My blood pressure started boiling and
so
then it just came out.
I'm far less ranty.
But yeah, so So let's get into fear. As Pastor Sam does that on the radio, by the way. Crazy Pastor Sam, when we go to radio, they do the epilogue.
Get it. We're only 3 minutes in. I'm glad we mentioned Pastor Sam.
So Pastor Sam, if you're listening, that's for you. Dr. Richie gets his at the end. Pastor Sam gets his at the beginning.
I like Dr. Sam. That's a good sound.
Dr. Sam.
Okay.
And so let's jump right into the topics.
Sure.
And starting with number one.
We have them on our phones.
Christian parenting fears.
Yes.
And this is actually a big one. And we've actually talked about this on the podcast before. We actually had a whole episode where people were able to ask questions. And somebody asked about training a child in the way they should go. And then they won't depart. And we actually I forget what episode it was, but we actually had a conversation, a dialogue about this.
Yeah.
And we shared our beliefs. And
I believe the episode was train up your child in the way they should go.
Well, there you go. That you can, easy to find. But yeah. The first one is loss of faith.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, I think that like as any Christian parent, that's probably like the top fear, right? Because anything else comes under that. So if your child loses their faith, or I would say if their child never has their faith, because I think that that happens often, that faith never becomes real to them. The relationship is never actually their own.
Yeah.
It's just like a cultural response, right? And a community response. So, and then that kind of makes it in line with every other religion, right? If you're raised Jewish or Muslim, you're Jewish and Muslim because your family is, that's your heritage, right? Whereas when you're a Christian, there's something that has to happen in your own heart in order to actually really become a Christian. You're not just born a Christian.
Yeah, because that's what separates Christianity from many other
religions.
God's not into just you practicing it.
Right, exactly.
He's into your heart.
It's a relationship.
I was just reading in Romans, and in Romans, Paul says that the whole law is summed up in love.
Right, amen.
So when you love God, you'll do the things of God.
Yeah.
And when you love people, you'll treat them as your neighbor, as the way Jesus says.
Right.
You treat them as yourself. But I think a big part of loss of faith is that we don't introduce our kids to Jesus.
Right. We introduce them to Christianity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What you were saying. We almost make it like a heritage of religion versus a relationship.
Right, exactly.
And that becomes the scary part. And so one way to counterbalance this fear is to get them in those, we talk about all this in our podcast, which is kind of funny as we're going through this. Like we talk about introducing your kids to Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's a big part of the first season.
Right.
In our life. But when we talk about like doing family devos for ourselves, mm-hmm. right, it's to introduce them to God.
Right.
Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God because one first must believe that God exists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not just any God, right? There's a lot of people who have weird views about God. They pray to the transgender mother.
You could just see in the comments section.
They pray to all these different things, but that's not the God that you're introducing
them
to. You're introducing them to the personal God.
Right.
The God of the Bible who identifies himself with names.
Yeah.
He's saying that I'm not like just all these other gods that you think about. I identify myself through my names, and my names are my character.
That's right.
So when you read the Old Testament, right, and it says Jehovah Jireh, he's identifying who he is by a name, but that name has to deal with how he interacts with his people.
Right.
I am the God who provides for you.
Right.
That's my name. My name is my character on display. Like I show you who I am mm-hmm. through my name. Like there's covenant names that they had for him that defined who he was. And it's the same thing in our lives.
Right.
So if you really don't want your kids to lose faith, introduce them to the God that you know.
Well, and it's prioritizing too. So like the first thing is like, as a believer in Christ, you have to live it as the parent.
Yes.
You have to model that for your children, and you have to impart that to your children. And so for us, I mean, we were blessed with Christian parents that did that, right? We saw the physical, for most of our parents, the physical relationship and the active relationship in Jesus, right? And that was imparted to us, and now we're imparting that into our children. But the other thing is a priority. I think one of the biggest issues that Christian parents face today is that they don't prioritize Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus isn't the Lord, right? If your kids are spending more time playing baseball than they are in church, that's an issue. If your family spends more time watching Netflix than they do in God's word, that's an issue. And so like it has to be a priority. And again, introducing them to the living and active God. And you know, when the, when they have an issue, you know, you don't just bypass it. You go to the living and active God. You teach them prayer. You teach them and you show them, right? You show them the miracles, the signs, the wonders, what God has done over and over and over again. And so that, and that's the training up a child in the way that they should go. And then when they're old, they won't depart, right? And that's the goal. And it takes work. It takes effort.
Yeah, and prioritizing it is a key word there. Your dad just sent me a video last night of a guy who was sharing his testimony, and perhaps your testimony is the same as this. Mine is similar, but then it goes prodigal and then comes back. but in the video, this man, this young guy is talking about testimony. He says so many people, they say like, well, I was raised in a Christian home, so my testimony stinks.
Right.
But really, what his whole point was, no, your testimony is amazing.
It's incredible.
God's faithfulness and God's love to your parents, that he honored their prayers to put you in a home where you were introduced to God, and not just introduced to God, but they demonstrated it for you so that your genealogy is like the Bible.
That's right.
So-and-so begot so-and-so, and they were blessed, and so-and-so begot.
Right.
And like,
amen.
That's your genealogy because of the faith of your parents and your grandparents.
Right.
And so it's just...
Yeah, you don't want the goal of your genealogy to be like the kings of Judah and Israel, like where it's like bad king, bad king. Oh, good king, bad king, bad king, you know.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Let's get to number two. Okay. Negative peer influence.
You want some of this? So real fast, before we jump into this, some of this is being real with your kids.
Yeah.
So don't put up like a faux wall about reality and non-reality.
Yes.
Like in this, Jesus didn't do that.
Right.
He said, in this world, you will have trouble or tribulations.
Yeah.
Like he's being quite honest with them.
Right.
He's saying, hey,
this
the book of Acts is about to unfold and you guys are going to experience some stuff. But I want you to know that that's going to happen. But take heart because I have overcome the world.
Right.
And so... I just wanted to say, like, when we deal with our kids, when you deal with your kids, make sure that you're not fake. Like, don't be fake. Be real.
That's right.
And so that helps with a lot of these things. So back to negative peer pressure. What do you got?
Okay. Well, I would say is, like, number one is that you need, how did Jesus deal with peer pressure? And, I mean, the disciples.
You're talking about Jesus as a kid?
No, I'm talking about Jesus as a man.
As a man.
Right? You always had the disciples being like, Jesus, like, why don't we do this? Why are you talking to the little children? Why are you talking to this woman at the well? Like all of that, right? That's like peer pressure. Like you have your posse around you, right? And so I think like number one is just studying the life of Jesus and your kids knowing the life of Jesus in and out, I think is like a really important thing to to see how did he deal with people? He had, and not only that, the Pharisees who were the religious, who were his leaders of the day, the people who were technically over him, right? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of those people, right? That's all peer pressure.
Yeah. I got another biblical example.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
How about like Daniel and the lion's den?
Oh, yeah.
Or like,
Rachak, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you say?
Rach.
What was the name you said? You said Rachak. Who's that?
That's not it.
Is that one of David's mighty men?
No, the three. Rachak, Meshach, and Abednego.
Rachak?
Yes. How do you say it?
Now I don't know. I don't say it like
all
that.
Right, just shorten it to Rack, Shack, and Betty.
Hey, for all your VeggieTales fans out there, there you go. Yeah.
This is like episode one all over again. I feel like I said it right. I feel like my dad's going to come on and tell you that I said it right. So.
Go with Rack, Shack, and Benny. Go ahead. Talk about it, please.
What is it?
It's a story in the Bible.
No, I mean, what is the name? I just saw on TikTok, like, what's a word that you mispronounce once and it, like, still haunts you forever, so...
Rachak.
What is it?
I'm looking it up right now.
You
because
don't
now
even
you,
know.
You blew you my mind with what you said. I can't even come up with an answer. Like, I'm...
Because you don't even know, because I'm right, so...
Shadrach? You're so right. Rachak. That's how I used to read books until I went into the special reading program.
Right. True story, by the way. And how did you end up with dyslexic children? This is how. Okay.
So let's say that Shadrach, sorry, Meshach, and Abednego.
All right.
I knew you were wrong, but when you said it, you totally blew my mind with the pronunciation of the name. I could not come up with the right answer for the life of me.
It seemed right to me.
Oh, you were confident. I know that. You were in. You even fought me on it. Like, what other name is there? It's Radshack.
But you didn't know, so.
Because of what you said, what put
if
me so.
If you had never said anything, nobody would have known.
It was such a weird name that you said. I didn't know what you were talking about.
All right. Well. Anyway.
By the way, names in the Bible are cool. You come up with your own. We discovered two cool names when we were reading about David's mighty men as a family yesterday.
Yeah, cool.
Eagle. Right. Remember Eagle?
Our next, I'm like.
She's crying over here.
I have very watery eyes.
Someone yesterday got all excited when we announced that we were. Stop doing that. That we were gonna record the part Stop. Podcast today. That they were like, it's funny. And this is why. Hey, wait, I have a sound effect for this.
No, it's too late. It's done. It's
there it is.
It's probably Brandon.
It was Brandon.
Yeah.
So shout out to you, Brandon.
Right.
So yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in peer pressure. Is that what they did there was, and I talked about this with the youth last night too. Is that there? It was based on who they knew God to be.
Yeah,
because they had a relationship with God, they knew who God was. And in fact, you see that when they addressed the king.
Yeah,
we're not gonna bow. We're not gonna bow to your peer pressure. And you're not just like a teen. You're a king.
Right.
There's something there for the church, by the way. But we're good another day. But they say we're not gonna bow to you because our God is able.
Right.
But even if he doesn't save us, he's still holy and he deserves our worship and our lives.
Right. Well, I would also say, you know, on a practical everyday level is like number one, and we've talked about this in this podcast before, is, you know, guarding who has access to your children is going to be a big key in who can peer pressure your children. So, yeah. And if they're around somebody consistently that's peer pressuring into things that are not the way of the Lord or of your family, then it's time to remove that person's access to your children. And I don't care who it is. So,
and we've had to do this with our kids, is be real with the conversations that you have with them. If someone's doing those things, actually have a conversation with them about that stuff. Don't just try to sweep it under the rug, and don't be like, well, you'll get over it, because that's not addressing the heart. Like, like when it comes to parenting and when it comes to stuff like even what we're dealing with, it's the heart that you're stewarding.
Yeah, it's building up the confidence in who they are in Christ.
Yeah,
so that way they can walk into any room, and if you know a kid is saying like, hey, watch this on TikTok, and your kid knows it's not right, and say like, I'm not gonna watch that because I'm not gonna fill my life with that because I have value.
Yeah. And part of that is instilling them in the identity of who they are in Christ.
Right, right.
Right, you're not those things. So Radshack, Meshach, and Abednego, or Shadrach, those weren't their real names.
No.
And if you go back to the beginning of the book of Daniel, you find out their names, and I'm not going to tell you them. Go back and look at it.
Right.
But when they get taken into captivity, they have Hebrew names.
That's right.
And they all have a specific meaning. One is like, the Lord is my helper. Who is like the Lord? And I forgot the third guy, but I'm just going off the top of my head because I did a research on their names. But they lived up to the names that they were given from their parents.
Right.
They were their Hebrew names. They lived
That's
up to
was
who
spoken
God
over
is.
Them.
And then all those other names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are to the Babylonian gods.
Yeah.
But they lived as in their identity of who they were in God.
Right.
They didn't go according to what they were labeled by. And part of that is probably because of their parents.
Yeah.
Right, because you're going into, they were young, taken into captivity, but they had instilled in themselves that there is a God who is saved.
But they knew it for themselves. Yeah, they knew
that's
it for
what I'm
themselves
saying.
At that point. It wasn't just their parents' faith. It wasn't a cold, dead religion.
No,
it
that's
was
what I'm
theirs.
Saying. But when we were talking about genealogies and like you pass the faith on, one generation shall declare his works to the next. That when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got to Babylon, they knew who God
that's
was
right.
even before they were, even in captivity.
Right.
So it didn't matter about the environment. They had that personal relationship with the God who saves.
Yep.
And so that had to be instilled in them, not just like, they had to have parents who passed that on because they named them those names.
That's right, yeah. That's
they said, this is your name. Your name is the Lord saves. Mm. Your name is, who is like Jehovah? And they lived up to that because it was, just reading on it, I believe that it was instilled in them. Because if you look at everybody else who was taken into captivity, there's a lot of bad things that happen. But
yeah. Well, all right. And so I would say number three goes along with the same thing as the peer influence, is moral decay.
But also the name Eliphelet. Ellie Fellet and Iggle are the best names in the Bible.
It seems like a good name for a
ferret. Ellie Fellet. Anyway. Ellie Fellet's in the Bible.
Moral
decay. Find it. And if you put it in the comments where it is, we will give you a shout out next episode.
Okay. Well, moral decay is the same. It's the same. That goes right along with the peer pressure, right? Is that your children will engage in immoral behavior, unethical choices, all of those things, right? And so I would say, and what I was thinking when we were talking about peer pressure is another like really important key factor is Bible literacy.
Yeah.
Like that is something that we really hugely are missing in today's culture is Bible literacy. Once your children know the word of God and it's just seated in their hearts, it's right there, right? It makes it a lot easier when they start have choices come against them, right? And so that's a huge thing. Your children need to know the Bible. You need to know the Bible.
Yeah.
And you can learn together. That's the thing. Like you don't have to learn the Bible and then teach them. You can walk along together and learn it at the same time.
Yeah, because you can't really give anything that you don't have.
That's right. Yeah. Right. And so, and again, teaching them, this is the same. I mean, we should have just lumped this together because it's the same thing. It's who has access to your children, what has access to your children, media, all of those things. And we'll get to that in a minute. And, who has authority to speak into your children and where are your priorities as a family? What are you prioritizing in your life and in your children's life? I think that has a huge access with it. You know, if you have a child that is struggling in, say, a school setting, and you keep seeing choices that they're making, and you see the peers that they're surrounding themselves, right? It's probably time to remove them from the government schooling, right? You know, you just and sometimes as parents, we have to make those hard choices for our children. We have to say, I know you're going to hate me for a little while, but like I have to do what the Lord is telling me to do for your life, to save your life, right? And this is what we're going to do instead. And sometimes you have to do that because you love your child.
So one thing we do too is that we identify things for what they are.
Yeah.
So like that's understanding right. Part of the Bible is to understand that there's the kingdom of God mm-hmm. and the kingdom of this world.
Right.
Sorry. And beautiful. The kingdom of God, and they don't mix.
Yes.
So like when the Bible says like you are in this world, but not of this world, and it says the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing yes. and blessed are amen. Those who take it by force. Like there's the kingdom of this world. And the Bible says that the kingdom of this world is run by the prince of the power of the air. The devil, the Satan, like we were all dead in our sins and trespasses mm-hmm. under his influence, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love, he saved us. He made us alive together with Christ. That's Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. So to understand that is to address those issues with your kids too.
Yes.
To like when it comes to it matters of like pornography mm-hmm. or sexual things, you can see the outcome of living in a society that is under the influence of Satan. When you look at divorce rates,
right.
when you look at human trafficking and all those are in a rape, those are all
abortion.
Those are all results of living in a sexually saturated culture. And right. I'm not just talking about like movies, music. Mm-hmm. When you have songs that are talking about women's body a certain way, and it's just you're just, it's just music, but that stuff that's it's going not, in their head right. and sinking to their heart, and then that influence, there's a spirit behind that.
Right.
It's not just a simple song; it's a spirit behind that, and so it's identifying those things. If we're on moral decay.
Yeah, moral decay.
If you want, start addressing why it's decay.
Yes.
Say,
right.
Like, this is what happens.
And teach it to your children.
Yeah, this is what happens.
And you can look at history as well. I mean, we are not the first society with moral decay.
No,
any means.
Look at the Greeks.
And so like you can also look at like in history like what happened? Where, you know, where is that? And it's nothing is new under the sun, right? Nothing is new. The enemy is not creative. He just recycles things over and over and over again. And the more that we equip our children with that knowledge and that understanding and equip them in spiritual warfare, the less of moral decay is going to be an issue in your child's life.
And you can look up statistics because like when, like even on like family things or sexual things, but you can also see it in a while back they were talking about rape culture.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. But how can you, when you have a culture that puts women on poles and does all these different things, how can you expect a young man's mind that doesn't have Jesus.
Or young women.
Yeah. Or young women. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Or you teach women that you have to flaunt certain parts about your body to get people to acknowledge it. And we live in a culture where fatherlessness is a huge epidemic.
Right.
And so the moral decay comes from the society that's trying to address the issue, but yet they're pumping it full of the garbage because there's a spirit behind it.
Right.
It's trying to break down what God has established, and family is something that God established.
Well, and I would say too, you know, in our culture as millennials, we have a repulsiveness to like purity culture, right? Because in the 80s and 90s that came on strong, it was a huge thing. It wasn't handled correctly and all of that. And so now we're in a position where there's almost an overcorrecting.
Well, the guy who wrote the main book became gay.
So right. Of an overcorrecting of purity culture. And so
can I make a joke about that?
No, you can't. So we have to, no jokes. We have to combat that too. But we also have to be able to discern, you know, what is right, what is not right. Where does the pendulum fall, and how do we correctly equip our children?
Yeah. And part of that comes through real honest conversations.
Yes. Right.
And because there used to be that whole thing when I was younger that you have to have this talk with your kids about the topic that no parent wants to talk to their kids about, because if you don't, the world will.
Right.
And there's a truth to that.
Well, we're just going right into number four.
Okay.
Well, okay. So
yeah, well, because we kind of covered
four, five, and six, I mean, they're all very on the same vein. Four is media and pop culture, which we have obviously talked
about. Can we just list them all off real
sure.
fast?
Sure. Yeah. Number four is media and pop culture. Number five is sexual purity, which you were obviously addressing right now because we always like to jump the gun. Number six is substance abuse. I mean, I would say a big key in that is if you don't want your children to fall into substance abuse, you yourself should
not be in substance abuse.
That's a big key, yeah, right? It's not the ultimate answer, but that is a big key.
That was six, right?
Yeah. So
four, five, and six. So three,
yeah.
Four, five, and six kind of go hand in hand.
Yes.
And you can't address one without addressing. So
right,
even with the substance abuse stuff, we live in a culture that, I mean, you think about COVID. Uh-oh. I just said it. Now we're going to get the warning.
Oh, man.
I didn't mean to. But you think about when that whole thing happened, right?
Yeah.
They were like, hey, churches, you shut down. Hey, businesses, you shut down. Hey, liquor stores, why don't you open up on Sundays
right.
now?
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
What? Wait, what? What? That's an essential thing, liquor? But we live in a culture. I mean, if you went on music and you just on the kids' music that they listen to that is secular.
Right.
Right. And you looked at like sexual innuendos,
yeah.
suggestive themes, and drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, it's huge.
It would blow your mind. And it's just, it's just music. It's not images. But that stuff goes from the head to the heart. And then those people that, they're idolizing rappers and women who dance around on stage half naked.
Right.
And that becomes their hero.
Right.
And then you wonder why society is so morally corrupt and there's so much decay in their life. You need to start combating that with the truth of God's word and who God is too.
Even things that are seemingly less, right? Seemingly less. Like let's look at Taylor Swift and the obsession. And we all know my feelings and what I feel about Taylor Swift.
People are more apt to spend money to go see Taylor Swift than go to church.
Or giving into the kingdom.
It's like, what the heck?
Right. And so,
if that's you? I said it.
Yeah, that's an issue. If you give more, if you pay more for Taylor Swift than you do when you're giving to the gospel, that's an issue. But let's just leave it at that.
God, but I love you with all my heart, but I'm going to skip your church and go to a Taylor Swift concert.
Right. Right. I'm willing to pay $500 for a ticket, but if an evangelist asks me to sew in for the gospel, that's going to offend me. That's an issue. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's a topic for a different day.
Wait. If you're willing to spend 2.5 hours watching a stupid Barbie movie and don't go to church for more than half an hour a week.
And you complain when your pastor goes long.
Rethink what you prioritize in your life.
That's right.
Just throwing that out
there. Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, her Taylor Swift songs are a little bit more innocent than some of the other things, or seemingly innocent, right? But what is a young girl when you look at, or, you know, a millennial girl, because she's really my generation and down, when you look at Taylor Swift, it's broken relationship to broken relationship to broken relationship.
Life.
Brokenness, bitterness, that's a huge thread in her music, right, is bitterness and revenge and all of that. And so, if you are concerned about your child's moral decay, that's a practical step to say. It's like, okay, well, let's not obsess over an artist that goes from relationship to relationship to relationship, sleeping around, getting her heart broken, all those things. It's just looking at that practical, right?
Yeah.
And yeah.
There's another verse for this in Song of Solomon, and it's not going to be about your hair is like the flock of...
I thought you were going to talk about my nose.
No, the one that I was going to go to. Okay. Anyway, there's a verse in the Song of Solomon that says it's the little foxes that ruin the vineyard.
Right.
It's the small little decay, the small things that chew at the root. I mean, if you're trying to sow the seed of the gospel, but you're allowing the influence of the world to be such like a torrent, like a current in their life, like an aggressive storm in their life, then it's just going to blow that seed away.
Yeah.
So you gotta understand those things. Like, you need to put safeguards up.
Yes.
You need to be able to, like, it's shepherding. That's really what it is. Like, with the sheep, like, you have to be willing to protect them. You have to be the one who's willing to fight off the wolves.
Right.
Because if you just let the sheep go out in a field and you go back and you sit and you sleep and you fold your hands and then all of a sudden half the flock's gone and they're dead, it's because you didn't do your job as the one that God entrusted to steward and to shepherd them. And so it is the same thing with kids. If you want your kid's heart to be close to God, you got to watch what is going into it.
Yeah. And as we always say in this podcast, is that, like, if this is new to you or you're feeling like conviction, like, number one, like, don't lose hope, because like you can turn it around. You can turn it around today. You can start making those changes in your family today and saying, I've allowed this in myself, right? But the Lord has convicted me and I'm no longer allowing that. And that in itself is a huge monument for kids.
Yeah.
That is something incredible for them to see that, like, my mom was obsessed with this music. My mom was like, whatever. But she said, no, the Lord told me to stop and I'm gonna make a stand and this is how my life is gonna change. And then your kids are gonna see that in your life. And that's incredible. But the other thing I was gonna say, like, as youth pastors, as children's pastors, like, one of the most like gut-wrenching things that I see in ministry is that when you have parents who are God-fearing, they love Jesus. You know they love Jesus, they're in ministry, they're doing these things. And then you have their children who are consistently talking about media that is like horrific, like good. You know, like when I recently had a kid talking about staying up on Roblox until 5:45 in the morning.
And talking to random people.
And in my mind, I'm like, how do you have access? Like, first of all, on a device, you're 13 years old until 5:45 in the morning. But the other thing is that, you know, parents, we have to stop being like ignorant of these things. We can't just like claim ignorance. I don't know what they do on the phone. Oh, they just spend all their time on their iPad. Well, why? What are they watching? What are they consuming? You have to know what it is that is speaking to your children. You have to like be aware of those things. We can't in this society today, you can't claim ignorance and be so self-focused on whatever it is that you've got going on that you're missing what is happening with your children, which is something that we see also often in Christian parenting. That's a side rant.
And so look at that. We tackled three in a row.
I know.
Bam, bam, bam.
Just we're on it. All right. So the next one is.
Yeah. I was just looking through these again real fast to see if we've missed anything in the descriptions of them.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right. So the next one would be doubt and questioning, right? Fear that their children might question or doubt their faith and not find satisfactory answers. I'm going to let you start with this one.
Well, I guess that's on two different levels.
Where it's two different questions.
So like, there's like a huge attack on the Bible just as a book, just like textual criticism.
Yeah. We just saw it in our comments on a video today.
Yeah.
We were just talking about before we started filming.
Yeah. We had a comment on a video that we posted. So there's the aspect of like trying to disprove the Bible.
Yeah.
Right. So even, I mean, that's all over the place.
Right.
Like different stories in the Gospels, they don't line up. Why didn't this? Why is it when they go to the tomb?
Yeah.
Like such and such things that happen, different events. And so like they're trying to discredit the Word of God.
Right.
And so that's one question.
Yep.
But then there's the whole idea of the other side of it that people have is not getting the questions to like maybe like the problem of evil in the world.
Right. If God is so good, why does all the bad things happen?
Like those sort of questions too, because that's a whole nother aspect. Because one, you're dealing with God's word and the truth of God's word, and is it reliable?
Right.
Which more and more evidence through it. I mean, if you were to look up how much evidence for the word of God there is, you almost come to this conclusion that like it cannot be fake.
Well,
that's what
Jordan Peterson was just talking about, right?
Talking about Jesus,
right?
Specifically, Jesus and Jesus, you have like almost like a Greek mythology type figure meeting with the reality of humankind, and it's all collides in Jesus,
right?
And the proof of Jesus being a real person is great.
Yes.
Like besides the Bible, right? There's other books, there's other eyewitness accounts, there's other, even people who didn't believe in Jesus who wrote about Jesus even after the resurrection.
Yes.
Josephus is one of them.
Yes.
The Greek, I mean, we use his books in college.
Yes.
right, to talk about the Roman and the Jewish wars that
as historical context.
Like they're like, it's good enough to write in history books,
right?
But when there's Jesus stuff, let's just cross that out,
right?
So either like you either take it as all truth or no truth. Like how could you say that some person's crazy when they write about one thing and then accept everything they have as truth?
Right.
What changed?
Right.
That's another. So that's textual criticism, right? And that's attacking that.
Yeah.
Because if you, and that's a scheme of Satan too. Because if you can get him to doubt the word of God, God reveals himself through his word.
Right. That's right.
And so that's one thing. But then you have the moral aspect of it. And that, which is funny because we just posted a video of Jordan Peterson, like you said, where he's a like a philosopher.
Yes.
And he's a very brilliant man. And he's right. come to this point where like it's not a matter of morality that separates him from God because he sees morality's answer in the right. word of God and in Jesus Christ. Which is why it's such a hard point for him to take that next step because he yeah. wants to commit, but he doesn't want to commit because he's scared of what that would look like if yes. he just surrendered.
What does that mean for his life?
For his life. And if you want to go on our YouTube page, you can find that video. But so like there's two different aspects of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hard thing. So you could actually do a study on the truth of the word of God.
Right.
And you could find evidence. You could find archaeological evidence that the Bible talks about that they have found.
Yeah.
Like you can go to the Dead Sea Scrolls and see things that they found. You could go to the Hezekiah's tunnel plaque, which we looked up that what they found. The plaque, the Moabite stone, you can look that up where it talks about King David. You wouldn't find that in a history book, but it's there.
Yeah.
You could look at and just so you know, that's because I believe if you only have two kingdoms in this world, one is trying to wipe out the other one, and the other one's trying to wipe out the other one, right?
Well, and I would say, like, on a practical value or a practical statement is, like, number one is just equipping your children and allowing a space for them to ask these hard questions, right? And so, like, doubt is normal. Questioning yeah. is normal. We have all, especially in our walk with Christ, we all have had those times of saying, like, I don't understand, especially when we're dealing with crisis
yeah.
or we're seeing bad things in the world. And so, like, number one is creating a space in your home where it is safe to ask those questions, at a church community where it is safe to go to your pastor and ask those questions and allow people to speak into your children and those things.
And you do have a responsibility though to not just like when we were talking about sweeping things under the rug is just to say, I don't know.
Right.
Like do the work to know.
To know. Yeah, exactly. And if you might not know in the moment, but you can say like, let's look at this together, you know,
yeah.
and like, and even like, you know, it's no secret while this is not a homeschooling podcast that we are passionate about home education. And so, you know, one thing that we're doing, we have a high schooler now and she's studying biology. And so, you know, in that, and I see this as Christians a lot, you know, like I just want a Christian biology program and like, yeah, you, that's good. That's great. But like, you also can't be fearful of like introducing things like evolutionary concepts or anything that you might disagree with as a Christian to your children, right? Because you can introduce those things while showing them like, what does God's word say? You know, okay, this is what people believe, but this is what God has said. And then that's apologetics. You're equipping your children to be able to answer those questions. And that's a huge issue. You know, when we have, you know, our kids go to a Christian school and they graduate and then they go to a secular university, they're now hit with those questions that they have to answer because you have peers and you have professors and you have experts in fields or whatever. And so apologetics is extremely important for your children, especially before they leave your home.
Yeah.
yeah. But even with our kids, like we've even thoughts about other religions like Islam, like we've looked at their beliefs. We've looked at the history of the beliefs. I've taught that to my elementary age kids, not being fearful of like, because I teach it, they're going to now believe it. You know, I teach it in the historical context and we learn, and then we look at like what God's word has said. And then we look at salvations. We look at what God is doing in Islamic nations and all of that. And so again, it's about perspective. It's about teaching. It's about open communication and creating a space for those conversations.
And I think some of it too is that there's a fear that you might not be able to answer the questions.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a huge fear.
And so that stops you from even trying.
Yeah.
And some of them will take some. Like I remember I was writing on healing. Mm-hmm. And so like in the book of Acts, there's healings, like they're like happening, like they're popping up like weeds.
Right.
Bam, bam, bam. People are walking, people are blind, eyes are open, all the things are happening. I'm like, well, what happened between the book of Acts and today?
Yeah.
Like what, like honestly,
right.
And that was a hard thing for me because I couldn't justify what I was reading in God's word with the reality of what I was experiencing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so for that, that left me down this road. I was like, I need to find what happened and why there's less healings. And,
that's right.
And it's not because of God's word not being true, but because we're the ones that tend to teeter off the path. And we accept doctrines and we accept theologies based on best opinions of people. We accept a church under Constantine that was married to the world and ended up getting all these priests to Jupiter and Mars and all the Roman gods coming and serving in the church. And we wonder why there's no healing. It's because unholiness that happened in that time frame. And then it's getting, and then God in his mercy brings us back to that point where we start, where he's like, he opens up our eyes to what his original intent was and where we got off. And he brings us back to that place.
Right.
But I would never know that unless I started doing the research.
Right.
And thank goodness that I wasn't the only one thinking like that. But there was a man named Dr. Randy Clark who said, I need to know what the truth is on this. And he set out on a journey to figure out, to go through church history, to figure out when it stopped.
Right.
And it would be, and what surprised me about that too is that it didn't stop where I thought it stopped, like right after the church, because Augustine was a healer. He had healing ministry.
Right. That's right.
Martin Luther prayed for a man with cancer and he was his friend and he was healed. It carried through. It was, my point is, you never know unless you start doing the research.
Well, and the other thing is, like, if you believe that God is faithful to his word and you believe his word and his word is truth and it is what it says, then we shouldn't be fearful of the answers that we find when we ask the questions.
Yeah, well, yeah. And the other aspect of it, too, is that I was just sharing something with you last night by John Piper.
Yep.
Where he was talking about the preacher's job is to proclaim.
Right.
But it's the Holy Spirit's job that makes it real.
Right.
So having the Holy Spirit inside of your life,
and that,
it takes it from just being a book. And we talk about that as a family. It takes it from being a book to being a spiritual encounter.
Right.
The same Spirit that carried along the prophets is the same Spirit that lives inside of us.
But that's also to all of these questions. When we look at these top 10 fears, a huge answer of that is the Holy Spirit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because again, and I think what's happened in Christianity in this culture, right, is that we've tried to do so much without the Holy Spirit, right? We try to get the head knowledge, we try to do the research, we try to, you know, do the right things or say the right things or whatever, but we miss that key component of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit.
And we talked about that too, like how we used to be more doctrine is not bad,
right?
But it's only head knowledge until the Spirit makes it alive.
That's right. Yeah,
the Spirit makes it dear. The Spirit makes it so we experience the things of God.
Right.
And I think of that verse, like what you were just, when you were just talking about, like lacking in the Spirit, like that Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
That's right. Yeah.
And then again, and then Paul says, who can know the mind of Christ?
Right.
Who can know the mind of God? But he says, but you have the Spirit.
That's right. So in reality, the answer to all of these questions, all of these fears that we have is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being active in your child's life.
Because that, and in all actuality, that was a big thing in the church when I was doing that.
That's right.
The search was when they got away from the Holy Spirit and they got into just doctrine.
Right.
So you became, it was less about the presence of God and more about the knowledge of things, which knowledge in itself is not bad, but like it's the Holy Spirit that takes it from knowledge to being transformation in your life. So if I got up and preached a sermon, I could preach the best sermon, but if the Spirit isn't moving.
Yeah.
If the Spirit's not there, if I don't believe in the Spirit, then I'm just giving people head knowledge and it's not transforming their hearts. But when the Holy Spirit's active,
that's when
transformation happens. And that's, I mean, when the Bible says that he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh, that's available to you and your kids.
Amen. That's right.
Like you don't have
there's
to
no
go.
No junior Holy Spirit.
Yeah, there's no junior Holy Spirit. Like that's an amazing, not a tool, but it kind of is a tool, but I don't know what other word
to
use.
It's more than a tool,
It's more than a tool. It's an amazing thing that believers have access to.
Right.
That can help them in their growth. And because it says that the Spirit takes us and conforms us into the image of Christ.
Yeah. And it's almost like plowing rocks when you try to live life without the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, one step forward, two steps back. It's like never truly getting to those places of freedom.
The other night, like after doing the youth group and preaching. And the night before, like there's an energy that happened.
Yes.
Like you're like, oh, aren't you tired? And I was like, no, actually, I'm wide awake. and that's like at 1 a.m. because of the ministry that just took place. It's just like,
Right. So number 7 would be pure rejection.
Nope. Number 8.
Number eight is peer rejection, is that fear of our children being rejected by their peers, bullied, you know, specifically for the beliefs and who they are, and really, I think, being different, right? You hear that a lot, again, to bring up...
Our kids are different.
To bring up, like, home education again, right? That's, like, when people, like, talk about their biggest issue with home education, it's like, oh, they'll be, like, they won't be socialized, or, and they'll be, they're going to be weird, you know, like, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, and I guess... It's a little hard for me to relate to that fear because I've never really been concerned about fitting in.
I was just thinking about it. If you're sending your kids to school and you look at some of the things that happen at school, right? You got, like, I remember in Newport, there was a school that had a student who destroyed the bathroom.
Yes.
And then they redid the bathroom.
And then they destroyed
it again. And then they destroyed the bathroom again. I was like, do I really want my kid?
Yeah, is that the socialization that you want?
Or like when they're putting cat boxes in bathrooms in
schools.
Yeah,
which is a real thing.
Do I really want my kid hanging out with some lunatic who's pooping in a cat box in the bathroom? Or walking around with like a tail? Like, do I, like, I feel like this question is kind of weird. I understand, like, if they get bullied... Like
when that's, I mean, we've
had that.
Well, like...
But my daughter doesn't put up with it.
But like...
My daughter reads a story of like... of David's Mighty Men and said, I can do that.
Yeah.
And almost punches kids in the face.
Yeah.
A true story.
But we have had a child like...
No one will mock my God.
Somebody made fun of their height. And the thing about our kids is that they really... The bullying that our children get is from each other. So it's just... Right. Just have a lot of kids and then they'll learn how to deal with these
they
situations.
Toughen each other
up. But you know, we've had things like, you know, about their height, you know, like, oh, you're whatever and that kind of thing. And so like, number one, like kids are just kind of turds in general. Like kids can be mean. And especially when you have kids coming from tumultuous homes where things are happening, they project those hurts onto other people, right? It's that saying hurt people, right? Yeah. And so number one is identifying that with your children. And it, and if you're dealing, and because bullying can happen in place, it can happen in church. It can happen at a sleepover. You know, we had a child, you know, just recently who was at a sleepover and had a friend who was not nice and said some pretty awful things. And we had to deal with that. We had to, again, what we always talk about is we had to evaluate, like, is this person somebody that we want to allow access to our children? And what they needed to see is that, you know, we took it seriously. We heard their concerns. We heard their hurt. We dealt with their hurt. We went to bat for them. And then we equipped them with tools.
With a bat. You little turd.
We equipped them with tools to handle the situation, right? And how it should come out of again.
Now, just so you know, sometimes my first response is, well, just punch them.
Which is not a good response.
Well, then they won't do it again. I mean, and we're not talking about like secular people.
No, right. We're talking about people in the church, people that we trust and that we love, yeah, and that just, like it just was just not, it was just not a great situation.
I think of the story of like when I was talking about with Adeline, her daughter.
Which time?
Well, she's always
when
like
she
that.
Was little or
no,
when she was older.
No, it was more recent. It was at the birthday, and this kid is just like,
this is a couple years ago,
going off, and the kid was already an issue. But,
well, the kid was an issue because, again, there was things going on at home.
Yeah.
He was not a believer, and there was mega things.
This story is just hilarious. So we're in here. We're having a birthday, and then one of our son, did it was him or was it Lila?
Okay, well, I'll tell the story because I don't remember.
I just remember going to the house, and I was like, oh, my
gosh. So if you don't know, we live near our youth facility that we serve in. And so we're having a birthday party here. All the kids in the neighborhood know us. And
we
so
feed them for
the kids in the neighborhood saw the party going on, and we had a, you know, jumpy house going on inside the auditorium or whatever. And so the kids weren't invited to the party, but us who we are, you know, it was not a big deal for the kids to come and jump on the bouncy house and partake in the party. And so we allowed them to do that. And there was one child who just had a mouth and he kept swearing.
Yeah.
And, our daughter, Adeline, who I want to say she was like 11 or 12 at the time. 12? 11? Something like that. She just was like, absolutely not. Like, absolutely not. Like, you cannot swear here. Like, there are like little kids. her little siblings, you know, we're talking about, let's see, oh goodness, if she's 12, you know, then we're talking about 10, then we're talking about 8, then we're talking about 6, then we're talking, you know, like it just goes down. That's just how our kids work. So they're young and she's, and there's, I know, well, Brandon said, I always hit the mic, so this, whatever. So like the kids, right, they're in, and there's little kids. It's a little kid's, it's an 8-year-old's birthday party. And she's like, you can't swear here. Like you can't say that here. And he mocked her. He was like, blah, blah, blah. And then her little brother tried to stand up for her because he was like, well, I'm not going to allow this jerk to speak to my sister that way, right? Because he's kind of a courageous boy and, you know, equipped. And then the kid mocked him. And she just lost it.
Oh, wait. No, he said he started mocking God and saying, oh, pray to God. Blah, blah, blah. She goes, she literally puts her hand up, pulls it back to cold clock him, and she says, my God will not be mocked.
Well, she like stepped forward to like fight him.
But just that line, my God will not be mocked.
We don't encourage physical altercations in our home.
But if she would have done it, I would have been happy.
And
there would have been no, just so you know, just because of the kid, there probably wouldn't have been any correction. We might have given her a treat. Yeah. Hey, you did a good job. She said, she literally pulled back that fist and said, right, my God will not be mocked.
And when they came in, you know, they were really like, yeah, emotional. They came in, they're crying. They're like, he said all these things and they're, you know, really, and we're trying not to laugh because it was funny. Like their responses were funny.
And the boy ran away.
He did. He ran away. He left.
That holy righteous anger that she had scared the demon right out of him.
It's like it's like the time she creamed them all in, what were they playing? Smash Bros.
Yeah. And they started crying.
And they like, we had like a bunch of teenage boys like upset that this 13-year-old girl beat them in Smash Bros. But anyway, that's Adeline. That's who she is. But anyway, so
we're gonna make a shirt that says that my God will not be mocked.
And she was like, how dare he say these things in God's house? Like this is his house. Like he can't say these things. Like she was just really, really worked up about it.
And then because she takes after me, I got worked up and I went down. Well, okay, to the kid's
so that's
house.
An issue because like you're not just dad, but you're also youth pastor in the community. So you couldn't be just dad in that moment. No. You had to like remember. So I sent a friend. I was like, you need to go with him because I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm a little bit, whatever. And then you can take on the rest of the story.
No, we'll just end there because it was just like when I got there. It was just craziness.
Yeah. Like, you didn't even do anything. No, the home was such.
I was like, what's happening in there is way worse than anything I've
ever
done.
Yeah, like there's so much chaos, and I don't even know where we're going on that. So, but again.
Peer pressure.
But peer rejection.
But
I would say, like, for her, that kind of, she definitely what has been set apart from the kids in the neighborhood, that child in particular.
But there's also, so just so you know, when the kids grow up in a world full of just brokenness and hurt.
Yeah.
They're longing for wholeness.
Yes,
they're longing for love. They're longing for those things. And so when your kids are the have that.
Yeah.
Right? They what you find is that they become attractive to those around them because they know what love is, so they're able to love.
Right.
They know who God is, so they're able to show God to other kids. And it becomes so like a lot of times when we do youth ministry, I mean, I can preach and God moves, but a lot of a part of the thing that keeps kids coming is the relationship that they have with our kids.
Right, that's right.
We have, and I already talked about this, like I have the best kids.
Yeah.
They love God, they love other people, and I can bring them anywhere, and I know that I'm not going to be embarrassed by how they act.
Right.
And I know
except
that they're
for
not,
Jaira Mercy. But she's young. 2, so we
but,
can excuse
but even
that.
Then, it's just cute. People are like, oh, she's cute. I was like, no, she won't stop crying. But like with that, like they know God and they're able to and they have a relationship with him. So like they become attractive to the kids around
yes,
them.
Right.
To the neighborhood kids.
Yeah.
So like we have kids who can't even come into the building when we're doing youth ministry.
Right.
But they'll come and hang outside
just
with our kids.
Just for the kids, yeah.
And right. So it what you find is that the thing that you're fear of, peer rejection, actually becomes pure acceptance because there's a love and an aura around them, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that attracts other people to them.
And it's teaching your children that. Like, you are different. You are set apart.
Yeah, you're the light of the world.
Because you literally have the answer that all of these other kids needs. And when you begin to shift that thought that they're no longer a victim, but they're the means of healing, that they're the bridge to healing to Jesus, right? It changes something in their mindset. It changes, you know, who they are. When Asher had a situation with the bullying in baseball, what we taught him is that, okay, well, if the kid comes and does it again, you start addressing the heart. So, you know, okay, like he calls you short. So what? Do you say, has anyone ever told you God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be mean to people anymore. You don't have to like do any of this. And in teaching that in our children, that they're not victims, right? They're Christ. They belong to Jesus. And you begin to equip them with that. And some of the other things that we've done on a, just of a more, because I'm kind of about being practical mindset is again, Bible literacy. That's a huge aspect. Again, you go back, you look at those stories. These are real life stories. When you're reading God's word, when you're reading people's stories, they were real people with real thoughts,
real
and
feelings,
real emotions and real personalities and real struggles and hurts and all of that. And so we had to communicate that to our children.
We tend to make them out like cartoon characters.
But I think one of the other like best things that we've personally done for our kids is also in the literature that they read outside of God's word. And so like we're really big on that. We're really big on literature. And so in some really incredible stories that have marked our children and that they remember them of these heroes, of these kids who have faced adversity and what has happened. And there's usually a vein of Christianity in them.
That like when we look at like a lot of the characters in the Bible, they face adversity.
Yeah, right.
Like, so like Aiden of the Tan, right? The Wilder King.
Yeah. The Way of the Wilder King.
So if you wrote that book, you can,
that's Jonathan. No,
you're going to give him a shout out.
Am
he needs to sponsor an episode.
Actually, I saw somebody tag him in an episode.
But he, the Way of the Wilder King, it's the story of David, but in
Jonathan Rogers.
There you go.
He also narrates the audiobook.
It's one of the greatest.
It's one of our favorite series ever.
I listen to it still. Like I like
our
like,
kids fall asleep to it almost every
night. It's one of my favorite stories that I've ever had read to me. But in that, it's the story of David. But it teaches your kid how to be courageous, how to stand for what is true, and how like those things. We live in a world that like, I mean, we went to the library. And then they had that like transgender rabbit thing that was like Pete, and then it was Rose, and then it was Pete.
Yeah,
and, like,
it was a gender fluid.
All it does is
book.
Just cause confusion and no grasp of reality.
Yeah.
And so you read those influences, and there's nothing, there's no morality to it. There's no chivalry. There's no courageousness to it. There's nothing teaching a man to be a man and fighting battles. And there's nothing about princesses and beautiful, like all those things that you get. And so like, there's just confusing, but when you have those books that teach them value,
yes,
what's worth fighting for?
Right.
Cause there are things worth fighting for. And like I was reading today in Romans, and it says like, oh, you're supposed to submit to the authorities above you. And you sit there and you think, well, then we should do everything that the government tells us to do.
Right.
But you know that Paul also fought the good fight and ended up in jail.
That's
there
right.
were things that Paul was willing. Yeah, I'm not going to bow my knee to certain things. I'm going to fight the good fight.
Yeah.
And as parents, like we need to instill that in our kids. There's some things that you don't bow to.
Right.
You fight the good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why didn't they read Paul when he told them you should submit to the government?
Right.
Because there's some things that you fight for. Yeah. And when it comes to the word of God and when it comes to the things of God, you don't bow.
Right.
And that leads me to another verse that I was talking about when you were talking about peer pressure and all that stuff and not being accepted, is that in Corinthians, Paul says that our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and strongholds. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not running around with swords, lobbing people's heads off.
But
they're, can I finish?
Yep.
Okay. But they're strong and spiritual. Like, and it says that what happened, what do? You take every thought captive. It's the same verse, same train of thought. Same section of scripture. There you go. He says, and what you do is you take every thought captive and you make it submissive to the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so that's the reality of it, is like when you're having those conversations and dealing with the issues, is you're dealing with a spiritual issue that's trying to kill the kid's spirit.
Right.
But you're also dealing with something that you can battle with the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And so that's why it takes being real and seeing the world for what it is.
Right. Well, it's like what I was going to say, like what Pastor Adonica Howard Brown says is that scripture doesn't say that there's not going to be weapons formed against us. It says no weapons formed against you will prosper.
Yeah.
And so like it's important to acknowledge that weapons are going to be formed against us, against your children. Your children have the light of the world, and the enemy, especially in their childhood, is going to do everything he can to get them to not ever grow up and walk in the calling that God has for them. Right? Because if he can get them when they're kids, and he can get them full of their trauma and obsessed with their own trauma and obsessed with themselves and their hurt and their bitterness or whatever, then he doesn't ever have to worry about them as an adult, right? Because they're never going to find that healing.
They're already destroyed.
And so like that's something as parents we have to recognize, and that's something that your children also have to recognize. They have to recognize that there is a real enemy who does form weapons against them. But God's word says it will not prosper,
and
right?
And that takes having a proper understanding. So the devil's not that little red guy with a pitchfork that just pops up on your
shoulder. He's not arm wrestling with Jesus either.
No, and like you said, there are principalities, there are strongholds, right. There are things that are waging war against the people of God and the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God forcefully advances.
That's right, amen.
And to have those real conversations where you can start identifying those things, like we do that with our kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you might think our kid, like, we talk about the LGBTQ stuff with them because it's on the TV.
That's right.
So rather than say, oh, don't worry about that.
But we're not going to talk about that.
We have to address those issues because Satan's already putting it in front of them.
Yes, right.
So if he's willing to try to attack our kids, you better believe that we're not going to let him take the ground. And we're going to make it submissive to the knowledge of Jesus Christ in that moment.
But imagine a child growing up with knowing who they are in Christ versus fearing the enemy, being full of fear, being full of trauma, being full of hurt or whatever. Imagine what that child can do when they're raised knowing who they are in Christ, where they have the armor of Christ around them and they understand that no weapons formed against them will prosper, and they understand the spiritual warfare. Imagine who they will become as an adult.
And exactly. That's
what it's all about. That's what this podcast is literally all about. That we're equipping you as we do this with our children. And there's no perfection here. And if you listen to season one, you're going to hear a lot of those mistakes that we've made, right? But there's no perfection here. But if we apply the word of God to our kid's life and his word is true, then we can trust that this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Because we either believe his word or we don't.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Because we're running out of time here, to number 9, which is faith community engagement. Worry that their children may disengage from the church or faith community as they enter adolescence. I will say, as pastors, as people who have committed themselves to full-time ministries, also as being a pastor's kid, I think that one of my struggles has been with my children is my children receiving church hurt, because church hurt is a big deal. And so whether or not you're in... And the reason why I bring that up is because those in ministry tend to deal with church hurt.
Can you say church hurt one more time?
Church hurt quite a bit more than others do, right? And so, that's a big deal.
Well, that's part of our testimony.
Yeah, right.
To where we are, because before we started this, we went through a situation where there was
massive
church hurt.
Right.
And it was huge.
Right.
And we had to tell our kids, but we also had to show our kids how to manage that and how to handle
that. Yes, right.
And so a part of that was our story.
Yeah.
It keeps coming back to this. Address it like it's real.
Yes.
Not like some like, this isn't somewhere over the rainbow.
Just pray and you'll be fine.
Yeah, with blue jays landing on your shoulder and rainbows in the sky and everything is just so great. But mm-hmm. be real, be honest. Talk, like, that was one thing we had to navigate to, because... I mean, as parents, you do keep some...
You want to hide. Or not hide, but cover.
Cover it. But you got to be real and you got to be raw. And you got to say, look, this is what it felt like in our life. It sucked. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was hard.
Right.
But God is good. Mm. And look where he's brought us.
Right.
And that's part of that journey and that conversation to have. You got to treat it like it's real. You can't just treat it like it's just going to go away.
Right.
Because, I mean, they hold on to those things.
Yeah. Right.
And so, I mean, you might be listening to this today and you've had church hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can think of a time where something happened in church and maybe you don't go anymore. Maybe you watch it live stream. Maybe you watch some big TV church that you don't have to really be connected to, because there's almost like a safeguard of your heart, because you can see how much pain it caused.
Right.
But it's understanding that, like, if you can, first of all, people are not God. Mm-hmm. You don't go to church for people.
That's right.
You don't worship people. You don't bring your offerings and your tithe for people. Mm-hmm. That's all for God.
That's
God
right.
is
Amen.
Sacred, God is holy, and God is always good. And if someone's hurt you, then first of all, you need to find a way to find healing in God
and
forgiveness.
Right.
So that you can have that. So, because part of the community of the body of Christ, it's being in that so that you can be covered and so that you can have fellowship with one another and with God. And if someone messed that up, then seek reconciliation, which the Bible tells us to, because we're people, we mess up. But also don't hold on to bitterness, because it's going to keep you away from that. Right. And then your whole life, if you have kids that don't go to church because you're upset with what experience you had, that only gets passed. One generation declares the praises of the Lord and what the Lord has done, or they declare the opposite.
Yeah.
Look at the hurt and look at the brokenness that it caused us.
Right. And with that, there's a couple things. It's like, number one, it's so important to find a church where God's Spirit is moving.
Amen.
And His Spirit is allowed, because many churches today do not allow God's Spirit to move. They want to squelch it. They want to control it, because God is not a God of chaos. So they want to control it, and they don't want things to get too wild, too crazy, too much, too long, to asking too much of people, right? But you want to find a place where the Holy Spirit is free to do what His will in His church, because it's His church, not man's church, not people's church, right?
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two is finding a church where the pastors and the leaders truly engage and care for your children and your family, right? And you can, if you go back to our episode, how to make a church welcoming to children or whatever, we talk about that a lot, and how to recognize a church that is welcoming to children, because that's a big deal. But number three, you also have to give it time, right? Because there are many times when we first started in our church that we are in now, I remember speaking to a friend saying, this church will never be home to me. They're nice people, but it'll never be home. And very, very quickly after that, the church became home to me. And I felt it in my spirit that this was home. Sometimes these things just take time. And also an understanding that people are people, and people are going to people.
Yeah.
Right? People are going to be people, because people are not God. And so you also have to allow grace in that, just as people allow you grace in it, because you're also not perfect.
And that's something, like, I remember I said in marriage counseling to a couple of different people that we've done, is that when you offer forgiveness, it's not forgiveness that's deserved.
Right. That's right.
It's the forgiveness that Jesus offered to you.
Yes.
So when you look at people who have wronged you, think of Jesus on the cross, who says, Father, forgive them.
Right.
For they know not that, because what we're supposed to be modeling isn't just the best person.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus Christ Himself.
Right.
Who was willing to forgive us when we didn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. So then we offer that forgiveness to other people.
Right.
So if you're holding on to hurt, and I don't know why I went this direction, but this is true. But if you're holding on to hurt, then offer that forgiveness that Jesus offered you. Look past them and see Jesus. Because like in the book of Philemon, it's a small book.
Right.
But it has one. Every time I read it, I get this glimpse of the gospel, and it almost makes me like cry.
Yeah.
It's when Paul's writing to Philemon, he says, if Onesimus has done anything to harm you, he says, credit it to my account.
Right.
That's the gospel.
That's it.
And that's the gospel we portray to one another.
Right.
If anyone, Jesus is saying through Paul, if anyone has done you wrong, credit it to my account.
Mm. Amen.
To my account. And right. Jesus has put us so far in debt
right.
that we could never repay Him for salvation or for the cross.
And with that, you know, we also have to recognize and remember to hold ourselves to the same standard that we hold the church to.
Yeah.
Right? Because when we begin to do that, you actually begin to change the culture of your church, right? So if you're upset that something doesn't get done at church, or a need is missed or an aspect is missed, you begin to hold yourself accountable to that you're then going to fill that need, right? That you're going to step into that place. And so by doing that, we begin to change that culture in that church, because a church isn't just a pastor. Or elders or whatever. It's the whole entire body, and some are the feet and some are the hands and some are the eyes and some of it. And we need all aspects. We need all the gifts moving in the church. We need all of that.
And if you're in a church that has the Holy Spirit moving.
Yep.
And I mean like real.
Real.
Like a real move of the Spirit.
And if you need help finding a church, please DM us, because we will help you find a church.
Yeah.
And we have connections. We have people.
Because when you get into those environments where this Holy Spirit's moving, and like signs and wonders, like we've seen miracles.
Amen. That's right.
Our kids have seen miracles. They can't
deny.
They're
not rare in our life.
They can't deny what they've seen and what they've encountered and what they've had experienced. And we also share miracles with them.
Amen.
So we recently pulled them in because we sowed something.
Yep.
Not financial, but it was something that of value.
Of value, yeah.
That God, I was praying and I wasn't going to sow. And God said, I said, God, I give you my heart. Because they were doing a song message. I was like, I'll just do the, God, I give you my heart. And God spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
And He says, if I have your heart, put this in the basket. I was like, what? I've never had that happen, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, I did give something. I did, yes. I did give something of more value away. But But I went up and I was with tears in my eyes and I put what I had that God asked for in the basket. And it mm-hmm. wasn't because it was so valuable.
Right.
But it was a consecration of my heart to the Lord.
That's
and
right.
we told this to our kids too after. I said, God, there's nothing that's going to get in the way of me and you,
right.
even if
Amen.
It's something so small. And I put it in the basket and I was crying and I didn't talk about it. And then a few days later, we had sowed two money the mm-hmm. previously. Mm-hmm. But someone shows up at the door and said, hey, God wants me to give you this.
This is the second time the person has done that. And after a sowing.
Yeah. And it was just...
A person who doesn't really have a connection in their life. Like a little bit, but not really.
We see them like every...
Once a year.
When
they show up at our door. Yeah.
But anyways, what was it? But they said, God wanted me to give this to you, and it was a blessing.
Right, amen.
And so what we did was, rather than just say, oh, look, like to ourselves, like, look what God gave us,
right.
we brought our kids in, and we said, look, this is what we did,
yep.
and this is how God responded.
This is where the heart was, because that's important, because sometimes kids can be like, oh, if I give this, I'm going to get that. And like, no, that's not what it's about.
Well, yeah,
it's
and
about
so,
your heart.
And so they got to see.
Right.
They got to see, the like, we tell them, but then they got to see, and they encounter it too themselves.
Yeah.
Like our kids sew all the time. Like they sew random things, Legos, and then all
cards.
Of a sudden they get Legos, and like they believe in the principles
Hobby Lobby
of the
cards.
Bible. Yeah, Hobby Lobby cart, and then she got $75.
She did
cash. She can go anywhere.
Yep, that's
it's
right.
Like, man, maybe I should do that with the next.
Well, and actually, how often do we have when our kids like when they have money, and we'll be like, oh well, don't you have like $20 or whatever? And they'll be like, oh no, I sewed that. And you're like, oh okay.
Micah, he.
Like it gives everything he gets.
We don't know what happens to his money, but he just sows it. And then one day it's going to come back pressed down, shaken together and running over, and he's going to be
right.
a billionaire.
Yes.
But that whole idea, like, what are we talking about?
Okay. We're talking about number nine, and that's fear of.
Get him into those places where the Spirit of God is moving.
Yeah.
Where it's not just educational.
Right.
I mean, like I said, there's nothing wrong with doctrine.
Well.
But getting him places where because God is a God to be encountered.
That's right.
He's a God to be experienced.
Right.
And he moves in among his people. So get him in those places where it's not just like liturgical.
Right.
And just and like chanting monk style. But get him into a place where there's passion, where the Spirit of God is moving, where there's an openness to
yeah.
it. Where if people are sick, they're saying, let's lay hands on the sick because the Bible calls us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to impact. Because they're going to see.
Right. Well, and I would say, to circle back to the very beginning, it's also about priority, too. Because, like, when our children become adolescents, when they become teenagers, and when they're, you know, changes in their life, right, and they want to pull back, our instinct is like, well, we want to, like, you know, we don't want to force this on them. We don't want to pressure them or whatever. But again, it's that priorities in your life.
Yeah.
What is the priority in your life, in your family's life, and then in your children's life? And so, because that makes a difference. You know, we have the best teenagers in the world.
Yeah.
We've got teenagers who love Jesus, who want to be in church, who read their Bibles, who share the gospel, who worship Jesus. And that's what it's all about. And who are, you know, they're academic students. They, you know, they all have their strengths and their weaknesses, but, so part of that is like, again, is setting them up that foundation for it, right? If you are worried that someday, you know, your four-year-old is going to fall away from Christ because they're disobedient or whatever, like it's also setting up that foundation in your family, in your priorities as a family. If you care more about the car that you're driving than you do about sowing into the ministry or about getting your kids in church or about like what's actually flowing in your home, because you can also go to church as much as you want, but if the Spirit isn't flowing in your home, that means nothing. And so you have to lay that foundation. And part of that is work. It's inner work in yourself. It's inner work in your marriage. It's inner work in your home. It's not passive, right? We can't just be passive parents.
Yes.
Yes.
And we actually have to hurry up on number 10 because we like...
are talking so much.
We get
it's because we like blew through the ones in the middle and we were like, oh, we have all the time in the world. All right. Number 10 is educational challenges. Concerns about impact of secular education on their children's belief values.
Wait, read that again.
Concerns about the impact of secular.
Right there.
Okay.
Secular. Okay. If you're worried about the world's impact on your children's belief, like.
This is so easy.
Like. Go ahead. If it's easy.
It's just so easy. Just don't let the government educate your children.
There you go.
And there is a million, we are in 2023, a post-COVID world. There is a million different resources now to get your kids out of the public school, period. There mm-hmm. just is. Like, there's a million different home education resources. You have pods, you have hybrid schools, you have private schools, you have grants, you have places like the state of New Hampshire where they're starting to pay private tuition, right? You have the resources. I don't care if you work full-time. I don't care. You have the resources.
Okay, we just watched a video.
This is a homeschooling podcast.
We just watched a video, right?
Yeah.
A while ago. Yes. About the teacher who had the kid inside her office because he had the don't tread on me.
Oh, badge. Yeah. Right.
So education, secular
education. The administrator.
So this is secular. So this is, I just want you guys to understand this. Look at the education system in yes. this world and look right. what they're toting. If it's rainbow flags, progressive flags, if they don't know what the don't tread on me badge represents or the flag, it really is a mm-hmm. flag, then you might want to question whether you really want secular influence on your kid. Because right. the world, it seems like it's getting stupider and stupider.
Yeah.
But tell them the story of the, no, of the badge.
So you had a student who, he's got the flag, the don't try to me, you know, the snake flag on a patch on his backpack. And he goes to school and they tell him that he can't have the patch. I don't remember like all the details.
Because it represents oppression.
And so, yeah, but like the crazy thing is that the mom starts, the mom was incredible. Oh my gosh, she was incredible. She, clearly the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The kid was incredible. The mom was incredible. But they're sitting there and... The administrator from the school, she can't even articulate why it's not allowed, just that, like, I think just that it offends her. And so she says, well, we can't allow it. It's offensive. And she begins to start on the history of the flag and her historical context. It's wrong. It's literally wrong. Like, it's literally not even there. She says it's connected to slavery. It's connected to all these things, which it is not. In fact, it's a Revolutionary War flag, not a Civil War flag. It's just like, whatever. Historically, there you can't get around it anyway. It's not what it is. And so the mom is like, are you,
the mom was taken back.
The mom was like,
the one
what?
That's educating
like,
our kids?
And like, you're allowing these people to educate your children when they can't even get historical facts. We're not even talking about opinions. We're talking about facts to be accurate.
And just so you know, the school will teach your kids about Julius Caesar.
Yes.
And it won't teach your kid about Jesus Christ, which there is more historical evidence for
Jesus Christ than Julius Caesar.
Just letting you know that. Or they'll teach Shakespeare.
Yes.
Who they don't, even, don't, know. Even, know they don't even know if it's a real person.
But we won't look at the Psalms, the beautiful writing of yeah. the Psalms and the poetry of the Psalms.
So just put it into context. There's two things at play in this world, right? There's two kingdoms.
Yes.
And one, and they don't go well together. They yes. don't mix.
Right.
Like, they're actually at odds.
Right.
And so if you're sending your kid to a secular school, don't expect them to come back with a Christian morals, Christian values, Christian worldview.
Right.
Because that's not what they teach. They teach a it's in the word, secular education.
Right. And to combat that, just to say this, as somebody who, you know, we've been in home education now for over a decade, is that number one, it doesn't cost a lot of money to homeschool. In fact, you can homeschool your children for free. It is possible to homeschool your children for free. Number two, you can be a working full-time parent and educate your children. Education doesn't have to happen from 8 to 3 in the afternoon. It can happen at any schedule that you want it to happen.
3 a.m. to 4.
Right. You can work it out. You can make it work. You have the freedom and the possibility to do that. So if this is convicting you, if you're feeling this on your heart and you're saying, and even I would say, like, if you've got like a teenager and they are dead set against homeschooling or whatever, or private schooling, whatever, sometimes you got to pull an audible and you got to be the parent and do it anyway, well, because you know what God's word says and because you love your child.
So we're not telling you to, like, when I'm talking, well, you just talked about homeschooling, but when I'm talking about like the secular Always. Education,
right.
I'm just saying identify the two views that of which it's going to come right. from. It's either mm-hmm. going to come from God or not from God.
Yes.
And I'm not telling you that studying history is evil.
Right.
I'm talking about the moralities, the world views. The lens through which we interpret the things that around us, even history itself,
right.
they come from those two perspectives.
Right.
And so understanding that, because I heard this quote, and I'm not going to even tell who said the quote because I forgot it. But it says a truth is always truth, and a lie is never truth.
That's right.
No matter how hard it's believed, no matter what's taught, a truth is always truth. God's word is always truth.
That's right. Amen.
That's just the way. Right. When God speaks, it's truth. He's the author of truth.
Right.
He's the one that formed this world, and he created. And if you read the Proverbs, it says God formed wisdom before anything else, because in his wisdom he established everything.
Right.
And so understanding that, like, God's word is truth. And anything that comes against God's word, you have to address.
Yes. We can't be passive.
You have to interpret the world around you through the lens of the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Not through any other lens.
Yes.
It's the lens of the Bible. It's what God says. And then you're able to address the issues for what they are. That's kind of like sums up what we were talking about.
Right.
You can address the issue of sexual immorality, of moral decay, of substance abuse, of all those other things that we put up above this around number 10, that you can address those things when you start looking at it from the perspective. Because when you start looking at the world through the lens of the Bible, and we didn't even get into end time stuff. Okay, and like the spirit of Babylon that's in this world that has been in this world since Babylon and has been kind of counterintuitive to God and the word of God and the people of God. Like, it's been in this world and it only continues even through the end times and the Antichrist and the Antichrist spirit that's in this world already, as John says, right? You have to battle that too. I mean, but the Bible says that we overcome them, but you have to identify those things in order to battle it, right? Mm-hmm. The weapons are there, but they cannot win.
They won't prosper.
They're formed against you, but it doesn't mean they're going to succeed against you if you start doing what the Bible says and start interpreting the world through the Bible.
Well, it always comes back to this. The Bible is either true and the authority in your life, or it's not.
And with that, that's episode 1 of season 2. And we have this disclaimer.
I think we're still going to call it episode 26. We're just going to continue numbering.
Okay.
But it's not confusing.
But we can put it on.
So just ignore him.
It is episode. Will you just
well, yeah, it is. Coming? It is, but like, we're it's still okay, episode 26 of so the raising. It's just season 2.
But we have this disclaimer. Please note this. So if you it says please note that the specific fears vary widely among Christian parents depending on their denomination and culture. And then you cut it off there.
Okay.
So that's just so you know. These things may vary in your life depending on what denomination.
Right,
you are.
And please don't take a new fear because we began to discuss it.
That's, no, God didn't give you a spirit of fear.
That's one thing. You do not have a spirit of fear.
We're gonna end
that
with this verse for you. This is for you guys right here. This is the verse. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness.
That's right. Amen.
You can do it.
Yeah.
Because you have the spirit of the living God inside of you. The spirit that raised Christ from the dead is at work in your mortal bodies. Romans.
And if you've enjoyed this podcast, we would encourage you to go back and listen to season 1. That's full of great content. We are excited about season 2 and what God has for it. And just, we have a lot in store, a lot to share, a lot going on. And we're really excited for that, to get to those things in the future. If you haven't done so, if you haven't done so, please do now. Give us a subscribe, a heart, a thumbs up, whatever it is, and whatever platform that it is, a review. We love reviews. It's great. It can be bad. That's fine. That still helps the algorithm. And again, if you want to partner with this ministry, if you're passionate about souls, you're passionate about Jesus, and you're passionate about families really living in what Christ has, then we would encourage you to partner with us and sow a seed today to just partner with this ministry.
And if you're in the area, October
21st, 2023.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then come to Grafton, New Hampshire, and you can come to a Jason Upton.
We're going
to
link Jason Upton's going to be in for
a
worship event.
Worship, hosted, preaching.
Hosted by Prayer House Coffee.
Yes. And the Jesus Project.
And the Jesus Project. And we are actually guest speakers. We're going to be doing a live episode, right?
Yes.
A live episode, a Q&A from, I hope the internet works well there.
Oh, we're recording.
From Grafton, New Hampshire. And so if you want to come, if you are in New England or like the North, come to this event. Actually, it's already selling out quickly. So
selling out.
Well,
it's a register.
Yeah.
It's free.
I'm saying registration's already like being full. So like, don't forget to like go and register. There's going to be food there to purchase.
Yep.
It's going to be a fantastic day. There's going to be, I believe, stuff for kids happening there because we love kids. And we are excited to be guest speakers for that and to partner further with the Jesus Project. And yeah, come meet us. We are even funnier in person.
Yeah.
So.
You want to know what I was doing? I was looking at my hair in this.
Yep.
And I feel like I look like Johnny Bravo.
Okay. It's cool.
Just thought I would throw that
all
out
right
there. So if you see me going like this,
don't forget to
like
join.
Or like going like this, because I'm trying to like go down.
Don't,
I look like a rooster.
Don't forget to join our Facebook community if you're a barber and you want to sew into Jason's life.
Please, please.
Hit him up. That's basically it for today. And we are looking forward to the next episode.
God bless you guys.
God bless.
I might change it up this time.